On today's Tale of Agriculture, we are with Anita Keyes, and glad to have you joining us here. A lot of folks recognize you by many things that you do, and you know, you do a lot of things in the ag industry. We know a lot about you, but let's talk first of all today about National Agriculture Day and what it means to the folks, especially in Nebraska, as it hits its 50 years.
Yes, and I kind of was surprised too that it had really been around for 50 years. And it did start out as National Agriculture Day, and now it seems to be National Agriculture Week. They've like stretched it out. So it started back in 1973. It's a national level called the Agriculture Council of America. Now, of course, many states and local events have clued into that, and if you get any ag magazines or all of our newspapers and you on the radio are all covering that. And to me, it's just a really good way to kind of promote agriculture, which is such an integrated part of our country and especially our state of Nebraska.
Well, and as we take a look at it, there is so many different types of agriculture as it continues to grow. You know, everybody thinks ranching and farming, but it goes way beyond that also.
So true. And you hear the food, fiber, and fuel. And of course, in Nebraska, we're keyed into the food probably, and also the food with all the ethanol that's produced here in the state. You know, and I was thinking this morning, yeah, fiber. I don't really think of much about the cotton growers, but hello, that's agriculture too, and that's an important part and important part of America, and our agriculture products. And that is one of the. There were three main purposes when they came up with this Agriculture Day, and they were, first of all, how our food, fiber, and fuel are produced, the role of agriculture in a strong economy, and then the safe, abundant, and affordable products. So if you look at that, you know, how their food, fiber, and fuel are produced, that has changed throughout time, too, and American farmers and ranchers just keep getting more and more productive. So in the 1970s, there was 4.3% of the American workforce was were farmers. Today, it's 1.3. So fewer and fewer people are feeding more and more people, so that's a kind of an interesting statistic. Because if you look at a farmer in the 1970s, they fed 76 people, and today they feed 165 plus people. And if you think about it, they've got to just keep going because we're limited. There's only so much land out there, and so by being more productive, and this includes lots of people, whether it's the research people or the people that are, you know, doing the science behind how things work and how our equipment works and being more efficient, and all those sorts of factors fit into that, how our food, fiber, and fuel is produced.
Well, as you take a look at it too, you know, it used to be that a family farm could survive off of maybe 1,000 acres or so, but due to maybe the children not moving back home after leaving for college and things like that, maybe equipment costs and things like that, has kind of changed, and now we're seeing a little bit more on the farming side, of course, more ground per farmer.
Yes, and that is true. And you know, you hear that, oh, the big corporate farms, which really is still like 90% of the farms in America are family-owned. And, yes, they may have gone to some sort of a different corporation or that sort of thing, but they're still family-owned. And a lot of them, and you would recognize that based on, you know, just right here in this part of Nebraska, how many of these farms and ranchers have been there for generations, you know. And I know, like the Keys Ranch, you know, it's like 125 years, you know, and that is a statistic, but it's also kind of a challenge to keep it in the family because of that. They keep getting bigger. And then also the fact that it takes fewer people to do the work that used to be done by, you know, if you had many kids, then they could all come back and that sort of thing. So that is a challenge as well.
Well, now down where you live, let's get into kind of the cattle industry type of things. It seems to me, by taking a look at the folks as you travel maybe down the road, down in your neck of the woods, but there has been a lot of passing on of the family ranches.
Yes, this is true. And you know, and it's wonderful, you know, that's great, you know, that if that's what your kids want to do when they grow up is come back to the family operation. And a lot of them, you know, and you and I have seen, you know, those little kids out there with the tractor or you know, helping grandpa whatever grind or whatever it is they're doing. That's exciting, you know, that there are, you know, that people are able to do that. But it does take a lot of planning, and this is sort of a side note, but yes, the importance of having a contingency plan, how this is going to be done, and, you know, have a will, have an estate plan, because it gets kind of complicated. And I'm just speaking from experience, because I was originally from a farm by Wayne, and my parents are both passed on now, and so we are just probably wrapping up, in fact, our last tax thing I think we had to do of, you know, how to pass it on, and who, you know, which, you know, the farmer that's back on the farm, and how do they do that, and all that. It's so important that people think about that and don't wait till it's too late and have these discussions. And they're sort of hard discussions, but they're really important.
Yeah, very important. And some of those that you don't anticipate, as maybe you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and then until it's that time to do that with family. Anita, we really appreciate it today. Tell us a little bit about agriculture, and look forward to talking to you again, maybe later on this week.
Okay, thank you.